Today is Friday, July the 17th, 205th day of the new year. Joining us this morning, Karen Diemer from the city of Arcata. Nice to see ya.
Right on time this morning.
I wasn't too subtle, was I? Oh, let's see if I can find something in here. Did you find anything about infrastructure in this book?
No, the quotes by great women didn't have a lot about infrastructure this morning.
Oh, okay. Well, how about theater?
Theater. Plays in the park are starting in Arcata.
Yeah. You got that, Rich? Yeah, okay. Our quote this morning comes from Elizabeth Ashley. 1978, quote, "People pay all that money to sit in a chair in a theater, mainly because it's a respectable way to see and experience things they cannot see and experience in their own lives." Theater.
So come out to Redwood Park and experience things that you can't experience in your life.
Well, many of us had that impression anyway. So as we came on, you were talking a little bit about what?
A couple of things happened this week up in Arcata. The first was, speaking of Redwood Park, although we have plays in the park starting this weekend, the city had also been served in a lawsuit over enforcement activities associated with a large gathering that had grown over the years at Redwood Park on April 20th on what's called 420 Day. And
so who would sue you? Or is this like ACLU or one of those broad brush kind
of
things?
The suit was brought by local attorney Greg Allen, and the contention was that First Amendment rights of free speech were infringed upon by the city's sort of efforts to not allow the large gathering to take hold of the park.
So was it carte blanche or a blanket statement saying freedom of speech? I mean, let's pull out the 420 or the legalization or any of that. Let's put in something else that might be a little more antisocial, but just as illegal.
Would that
lawsuit have been there also, or is this a one-trick pony?
Yeah, no, the dismissal really came about that the judge found that the plaintiff did not have standing, that he himself actually wasn't injured by the activities, that he had come to the park in 2010, but then he hadn't come subsequent years, and a good portion of the argument of the city's activities to try to control or to really downsize the large crowd that had been gathering there and sort of creating the nuisance and the fights and the excessive drug use and the need for police to respond over and over to events that were happening on that day. That was the injury, but that he wasn't there for most of it. So really the lawsuit was dismissed a lot in terms of whether or not he had standing. But I think the message that also came through was that, the city really was trying to make an effort to just make sure that the park is available for all the citizens and trying to make sure that we're balancing the proper use of the park and
well,
to make sure that it's
park?
Accessible. You can, and this year we did issue a permit on April 20th on 420. To a group called Hum Rights, a coalition for free speech, and they did hold in kind of their inaugural barbecue up there as the kickoff of their nonprofit, and they did have some speeches that happened, and it all went well. But the contention of the lawsuit wasn't that they had requested for a permit been denied, but that had tried to go up and attain the gathering and weren't able to.
It's 8:19.
You've never heard us before, because we're something brand new. It's called Destination Radio. If you live in Ferndale or Gold Beach, Blue Lake or Klamath, Brookings or Eureka, you'll be looking for someplace different to take the family, something special to do next weekend. The best destinations for day trips and overnights, for hiking or biking, for beachcombing or birdwatching, and you'll turn to us for ideas, because you're the reason we're here, to help you find your close-to-home destination. Stay, play, and relax with us. Destination Radio.
Good morning, KINS. News and Information Time is 8:24. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Arcata City Manager Karen Diemer. Karen, the concept of rate setting is something that is probably just as sexy as laying down a sewer pipe. Yeah, I mean, just
they do go hand in hand.
Yeah. But it's part of even those of us that are not fans of large government look to public safety, infrastructure. I mean, there's some basic tenets that I think everybody agrees. Well, maybe not the anarchists, but almost everybody agrees upon. How do you determine rates? Because I know you're not supposed to have profit centers.
Right.
So how do you determine what the cost is over a period of time, present value of money, all that kind of stuff, so that it is set as a replacement in 50 years or whenever the life expectation is of this particular item?
Yeah. And, communities had a lot of forethought years ago when they started to put in infrastructure and these shared systems. And when I talk to, teenagers, I really try to get across the concept that you are connected to your neighbors, really physically connected via pipes.
I thought you told them just to clean their room.
Well, I don't think,
mow the lawn.
That long ago that we didn't have water and sewer, even in Humboldt County, it wasn't. I mean, there are people alive today that worked hard to put those systems in. And yet we have this new generation that's coming up that has always had. You turn the tap on, you flush the toilet, you don't have to worry about it, you don't think about it. And as fantastic as our forefathers were in terms of putting in our infrastructure, one of the areas that we have failed over the years is to been able to save for its replacement. So the city passed 2 years ago a set of water and sewer rates. So each utility basically has its own bank account for simplicity's sake. They're called enterprise funds, and all of the rates that people are charged that come in your water and sewer bill, all of those rates go specifically into that account for either water or sewer.
Not to be confused with the Social Security.
Definitely not to be.
So you're not pulling out of that to backfill in if there's some shortage somewhere else. It's not only earmarked, but it's also pause off.
Yes. Yeah. So that stays. So at the end of each fiscal year, where the rest of the monies might roll into one reserve fund, these stay specific either for water or sewer and go specific into a water or sewer reserve if there's money left over at the end of the year.
So how long do you plan that out?
So we look out typically about 20 years, and then we look in five-year increments. So we look at, where are we going to need to be in 20 years, but what do we really need to finance in this next 5 years? So the city has a list of priority projects to complete in the next 5 years, and we really set rates to say, if we were to borrow money to finance these projects, because at this point we don't have 50 years of built reserves in which to replace everything with, but if we were to finance those projects right now, and interest rates are low, so it's not a bad time for communities to do infrastructure projects, what would those projects cost us in today's dollars? How could we amortize that out over what period of time? Could we finance that in 5 years, 10 years, 20 years? And then we set rates according to really those specific projects that we will complete in that five-year period, and then our annual operating cost, and that becomes the new rate.
So there are no bonds associated with infrastructure?
There are. So then you look at, so now you've got fees that you're collecting to create this capital fund or to finance these projects. So then you say, what is today, each time you start a project, what's the best way for us to finance? Is the state or the EPA, the federal government, offering no interest or real low interest loans to do that kind of work? So sometimes we fund sewer projects through the State Water Resources Control Board. They have a funding mechanism that typically beats the banks. Other projects, we're doing a new water tank project right now. We had some existing debt on our water system that we refinanced. So that was a private bank placement that offered us the best rate in terms of that refinance to finance that project. So we really, once you've got your rate set, you know what the capital is you need, then you can go out and shop sort of at the moment that you need the money, what's the best interest rate that you can get.
I would imagine when you're looking at a project overall, that you're looking for cost containment as much as you can in various areas. Last cycle, say some federal monies were used. If you're now replacing another section of that, do you still have to go with prevailing wage because it's connected? Or is each project, even though they are connected, seen as a separate entity?
Each project can be viewed as a separate entity, but the city of Arcata is a traditional general law city. We're not a charter city, so all of our projects come with prevailing wage. So all of our major public works projects, whether they receive federal or state funding or not, they all go out to bid. And our cost containment in the public sector really is the public bid process, where you're trying to get competitive bids to come in and do the job at the lowest cost that you can.
So as long as you get three or four bids, you feel comfortable that nobody's taking advantage? Or if they are, they're standing out?
Yeah, then they don't get the bid. I mean, yeah, we've got fairly good local competitive bids from our local contractors around here.
Got to be interesting as you put something like that together, trying to anticipate what the bids coming back are going to be. High, low, or pretty close?
And there are just a lot of variables that to speak to how those bids will come in. When you bid them during the year, how much other work is in the area, or local contractors, are they busy or are they exceeding where their bid bonds are at? Who can bid, who can't, who needs work, who's got work? So all of those things come into play. But typically our engineers' estimates of what the work will cost come in pretty close to where the bids are.
It's 8:30.
What could we do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:36. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Karen Diemer from the lovely city of Arcata. Anything going on this weekend in Arcata?
It is opening weekend for Plays in the Park up at Redwood Park. And you can get tickets at cityofarcata.org or at our recreation office at 822-7091.
Can you just show up?
And you can just show up at Redwood Park. Show times are at 7 o'clock, Friday and Saturday. And I think they're doing a Sunday matinee as well this weekend.
No midnight showing this week.
No midnight showing this weekend. But before we completely come off of the conversation of
infrastructure. No, we're going back.
We're going back to infrastructure.
You betcha.
It's my favorite topic.
Well, I think a lot of us don't understand it.
Yeah.
And grasp it. You know, if we're sitting in line and they're throwing new pavement down on the roadway and we have to wait half an hour or 15 minutes, okay, we get it.
Right.
We see it. There it is. You know, see the guys smushing it around and the big toys smashing it down. We get that.
Yeah.
But for other things, steel plates on the road, what's that about? Bum, bum, bum,
right.
You know, as you go over it.
Right.
And that's all anybody thinks about
right.
it. Or you see a manhole cover off,
mm-hmm.
and you're amazed anybody can fit in one of those things. Yeah, and you might think, well, gee, I wonder what is underneath the streets, or how far down does it go?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Or somebody digs up an old wooden pipe. You go, gee, really? Or the terracotta pipes, or
right.
some of the stories that we've heard, you know, over some of the older communities in the area.
Yeah.
You know, oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay, little interest. Next, and you move on
right.
to something else.
Right.
Is there a scheduled, this is kind of a stupid question because it should be there, a scheduled replacement program for streets, for water, for sewer, for power poles, for all these things that are governmental or quasi-governmental infrastructure?
Yeah, there's a replacement schedule for all of those. And, historically, I would say we haven't done a great job in keeping up with our replacement schedule.
Fine. You answer part B before I get a shot at it. Yeah, okay.
You know, and every piece of major piece of equipment, if it's a major piece of your wastewater treatment plant, a water tank in a city, you know, it all comes with a specified lifespan. You know, we find that we can usually push the lifespan of that and get, you know, an extra sometimes 10, 15, 20 years even out of that piece of infrastructure. So those replacement schedules are updated and changed every year. You know, in our streets, in terms of paving, the streets are rated, you know, probably on about every five-year basis. And then repair, whether you really need to grind up the road and completely redo it, or you can just do a coat over it. You know, those streets are rated and then put into a schedule.
What about sidewalks? I know that's a bone of contention for a lot of folks.
Mm-hmm.
Brian was in from Eureka a couple weeks ago and said it's the property owner's responsibility. If the sidewalk gets chewed up, property owner's responsibility. And I thought, okay, in a lot of the historical districts, whether mm-hmm. it's in Eureka, Arcata, Fortuna, Ferndale, take your pick, there are sidewalks that, well, they weren't designed to last 110 right. years, 120 years.
Right.
Still the property owner's responsibility, because I would think if there's a trip and fall, it ain't going to be the guy who can't afford to replace the sidewalk who's named.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be the larger jurisdiction.
Right. They put us all on the list for sure. Yeah.
What is the policy with sidewalks?
Mostly in the residential sector. You know, I'd say Brian is right. We work with property owners when they need to do repairs. What we see a lot of is we're still fairly rural. There's a lot of areas, even in Arcata, that haven't had sidewalks put in, you know, so we and then what we've done when working with neighborhoods is tried to find grant funding where we can go in and do large sections. And Safe Routes to Schools has been a great source of grant funding. So as you're trying to get kids to walk to school, you can come in and, you know, we've done whole blocks of sidewalk through Safe Routes to School grants and neighborhoods. We probably weren't going to get that residential buy-in to put those in.
And then there's an assessment fee, or is it put onto the property taxes? Or how do the separate bill? I mean, how does that get paid for?
If we find grant funds, then it gets paid for with the grants. You know,
so there's not a match necessarily.
Not typically.
Oh, really?
With a lot of the Safe Routes to Schools, you know, or the match is in kind, so we're dedicating some staff time to it. And that we can absorb if it's a community priority for that year. So we do a little bit. The city will also come in, and we do mostly the large intersection areas, so where they connect in, where, you know, we're adding a lot of ADA access into the major corners.
What is the deal with those stupid yellow things that break eggs coming out of the grocery stores? You know, the thun, 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 thun.
I do know, yeah.
What? Is that prescribed that they have to have a certain lift on them?
Yeah, they're all designed and specified. And
is that so people don't
put
slip?
into standards. It's so people don't trip. It's so canes have something that they can gauge by.
When you probably don't want people stripping either.
Did I say tripping?
No, you said stripping first.
I know, but I was going to go. But I wasn't going to say it twice.
Okay, so that's part of the whole handicap swoosh down so that the wheelchairs can make it out, or bicycles or mm-hmm. whatever, wagons. Mm-hmm. Okay. Federal or state?
I would guess that's state law, but
okay. Standard. Just want to know who to be mad after all the bumpy bump when the eggs break. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:42. We'll get it together and be back.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka. Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:46. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Karen Diemer. Karen, the bidding process itself, is everything black and white? Or, I mean, you have two tennis shoes. They both fit. They both are designed as hiking shoes. Dandy. Okay, one has got this brand on it, and one has got that brand sewn on it. There's intrinsic value with the brand. An association with it, a value perceived or not, with that brand. People buy based on a lot of different reasons.
Mm-hmm.
In the bidding process,
brand goes away.
It's all just dollars. And I mean, if let's say it's a project to throw some rock somewhere,
mm-hmm.
do you look at where the rock comes from, the size of the rock, the cleanliness of the rock? Is there any distinction between the materials, or is it whoever gets the best buy on it hits it with whatever percentage markup they feel comfortable with, present it, and you just say rock is rock?
The intention is that the city specs what they want in a detailed enough fashion that that's what they get. So whether you buy the rock from, you know, one wholesaler or another, as long as the spec is the same, that the rock is going to perform the same in, you know, the given circumstance that you're placing it in, whether it's to stabilize a hillside or whether it's a base of a road, that you're speccing exactly what you want to enough detail that brand no longer matters.
So the bid is pretty much my margin.
Yep.
Versus your margin or Rich's margin.
Mm-hmm.
Or buying volumes. So
right.
how does a small
what
local guy...
What relationship that you have with your vendors.
How does the local guy compete against the large regional? How can they? Because their product cost is going to be so much higher because they're not buying in the quantity.
Our experience in Arcata is that, you know, I'd say 95% of our bids go to local contractors. And they're not all huge companies. You know, a lot of them are the smaller local contractors in the area, and they do compete well. So whether they've been able to, you know, form partnerships on the side to get better discount deals, or whether they can keep some of their overhead down because they don't have as much, or their equipment stays more local so they're not mobilizing in and out a lot of equipment from out of the area to do projects, they are still competitive within that. But
so they're not going out to the riverbed and shoveling the rock themselves.
They could be in some cases.
Different permit, huh? Yeah, locally grown rock.
Yeah, we do have some.
Yeah, something about the quarries kind of gives us that indication, huh? Oh, boy. If somebody wants to find out more about the process, is there any way? Because I would think some of it is probably management philosophy from those who do the bidding. But can they find out what that is all about? Is there anywhere to go?
Yeah, all of our bids are open. They're open to the public. You know, so when we put out a project to bid, we announce when that bid opening will be. So the bids are due, let's say, 2 o'clock on a Thursday. At 2 o'clock, a lot of times contractors will bring them in ahead of time. So we might have 3 or 4 in envelopes, but then 3 or 4 contractors come in with their envelopes. And we sit in a room and we go through, and it goes up on the screen, each of the items of the bid. And everybody sees in the room who wins the bid.
Hope it's me. Thanks for coming by. Join us Monday morning for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out, make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you tomorrow morning.